A few years ago, Father Scott, who is the other priest, well, we have two other priests here, Father Scott, who's here part-time, and Father John Jaime, who chiefly celebrates the Spanish Masses. Well, Father Scott told a story when we were talking about donations to the church, and please understand, this is not a homily on that. But he told a story that I've never forgotten, because recently I heard it applied by a friend of mine to another area. This is the story, and evidently it is a true story. It occurred while the apostles and their successors were trying to follow Jesus's, the whole point of Jesus's mandate, the Great Commission. Go to the whole world. Preach the gospel. Teach them what I have taught you. Because that's what the gospel says today, as we're celebrating the Feast of the Ascension. Jesus rises to heaven, but he leaves us with a mission statement. If you notice, at the end of the gospel, at least one of the gospels that's for today, the apostles are standing there looking up as Jesus is being assumed or ascending into heaven. And a couple of angels appear and say, "What are you doing? What are you doing looking up? Go! He gave you a mission." Now, the story that Father Scott told is the story of the early proclaimers, the early apostles and their successors, when they were trying to evangelize, especially the Vikings in the Scandinavia. Because what was happening was this. They were baptizing them in pools or in lakes or in stuff like that. And the women were being baptized beautifully. But when it came to the baptism of the men, the preachers or the priests or whoever it was, the missionaries, noted that when they did baptisms, and they were immersing people like we do here in the big font. But what they were doing was, these guys were going under, but they were holding up their right hand to make sure that their right arm was not submerged. And so they would go down, but their right hand did not submerge. And the missionaries couldn't figure out what was going on, until one of the women told them what was going on. And what was going on was that they had such a primitive idea of baptism that they wanted their entire bodies baptized except for their fighting arm. They wanted that excluded from having to follow the gospel. They wanted to have that excluded. Now that's naive, of course. We know that's naive. But when a lot of times people who are not conscious of much religious instruction, they do stuff like that, naive. But Father Scott says, you know, that these guys were wanting their fighting arm holding maybe a sword left out so that the gospel wouldn't apply to that. And then when he was giving the homily on stewardship, Scott said, "I think some of us would do that today. Only we would keep our right arm, and of course what we would do is we would keep our wallets, you know, outside." Now, what that brought to mind, recently, and I've been in several discussions, and asking the question, if you were to do that, what part of your life would you hold up? Because let me tell you something. I've experienced, I've been a priest for 40 years. 42. What's today's date? June 3rd? 2nd? June 2nd? Tomorrow? Tomorrow's June 3rd. Well, that goes to June 2nd. Tomorrow's my anniversary. Tomorrow. I will be a priest tomorrow 42 years. Now, after 40-some years of being a priest, you think, oh, man, I've got this wired. You know, I'm done. I have found out in the last few months that I had several things that I had held up. And what it is that what you do is you make sure that something in your life is excluded from the demands of the gospel. Something. For me, and that's why I was teasing Jerry at the beginning, for me it was food. Food. Now, I don't know if you have noticed. I certainly have. I've lost 35 pounds. Okay? No applause. No. I've lost 35 pounds because I started eating a plant-based diet. Now, I'm not turning into a weird vegan and, you know, all kinds of weird stuff. No, but I've seen several documentaries and I have friends. I have a good friend who's very strong in that. And I found out, not the issue of veganism, although that's something else, but that I was abusing food. I was abusing it. Now, some people abuse alcohol. Some people abuse sex. Some people abuse work. Some people abuse drugs. Some people abuse shopping. Haven't you ever heard that? When the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. Right? So different people abuse different things. And basically, that's what you help, without knowing it, that's what you held up so that baptism wouldn't touch it. That's what you held up. Now the question is, I don't know what you held up. I know what I held up. Several things, but the most important thing for me, I think, was food. Which is why, for the last 15 years, I weighed huge. Because every time it was time for me to face emotional issues, every time it was hard for me, I was lonely, every time I was frustrated, what I would do is I would go to the refrigerator. Haven't you ever done that? I remember doing this. Yes, I still periodically do it. Thanks be to God, I don't have much in there that isn't good for me, you know. But because I would screw it up royally. But you're not feeling well, you're down, you're depressed or something, and what do? You go to the refrigerator and you open it up and you stand there. Nothing looks good. But you know you're going to eat something. You know it. And you always do it when you're alone. You always do it when you're alone. Now, the reason I'm talking about this is because, you know, at first, I got a lot of priest friends. And a lot of my priest friends are fat. Okay? And I have a hunch that we have focused, at least when I was growing up, we focused a lot on sex. Now, I'm not telling you we shouldn't, because the abuse of sexuality, especially today, is epidemic everywhere. It's epidemic with the porn industry, with all kinds of stuff that's going on, with the issues of gay marriage, the issues of, you know, sleep around, it just feels good, do it. We've lost all of that. But But the thing I never heard is you need to take care of the body that God has entrusted you with. I never heard that applied to the gospel. Never. It was kind of like we held it out. It was interesting. Last Sunday, this friend of mine who's my sponsor, I've joined, by the way, I'm joining and have joined Overeaters Anonymous because I can't do it on my own. And my sponsor, I had my sponsor come to the radio station. And we were talking to the rabbi. It was one of the most interesting conversations that I've had. Because the rabbi, we started talking to the rabbi about the religious motivations for controlling food. And it was so interesting because the rabbi was telling us from the Old Testament how religion and food are intertwined. Which is why, by the way, they keep kosher. Keeping kosher for them is not a matter of a health issue. Keeping kosher for them is a religious responsibility that God had told them to use food correctly. Now, according to what this is what's called in theology, this is what's called accommodation. Accommodation is that when God talks in the ancient world, he accommodates his commandments and fits his commandments to the culture of the people. It's not such a strange thing. It's like when you talk to a little baby, you don't use big words. You use accommodation to make sure that the message is understood by a little baby. Okay? And so, this rabbi was saying that the way that we use food, it's interesting. Do you know that this? I had never thought about this. But in Genesis, when God gives the Garden of Eden, he says, you can eat of all the fruit trees and all the vegetables and all that stuff. You can eat all of that. He was addressing a plant-based diet. When is it that God starts, and this is the rabbi told me this, when is it that God says that you can eat meat? It's after the fall. Now, I'm not saying the Catholic Church doesn't say you have to be a vegetarian or a vegan or anything like that. I'm not there. I'm there chiefly for health reasons. But what bothers me is that we have never included that, our relationship with food. And there's a couple of others, but I never heard that there's a moral issue there. I've never heard that. I've always heard that there was moral issues with sexuality, and there's moral issues with stealing, and there's moral issues with money, but I never heard that there was moral issues with food. And I think that as a culture, and even as a church, we've sort of held it up and forgotten about it. And so this is what and let me tell you just one more. You know what else we've done? Rest. Do you remember the Sabbath? What are you supposed to do on the Sabbath? You're supposed to rest. Okay? Now, please understand, as Christians, we are not Jews. Something that I try to remind the rabbi. But as Christians, we are called to take the spirit of the law and bring it in to Christianity. What are we doing? When do we ever remember to rest on Sunday? To hold it holy? To focus on that which is whole and holy? Or have we taken time and held it out so that it's not influenced by the gospel? All I'm asking you to do, And I'm asking you to reflect on your own life, because I have had to come to terms with this in my own life, that I was heading towards an early death. I'm diabetic, and I never, ever thought of it. I thought of it in terms of health, but I never thought about applying the gospel and my faith to that part of my life. Never. And so the question may be for all of us is, what are you holding out? What are you holding up so that the gospel doesn't touch it? Everyone's different. Everyone's different. Look at your MasterCard bill. Maybe you can tell in your MasterCard bill what it is that you're wasting money on or wasting time on. I don't know. All I know is that there's always a tendency for us as human beings to make religion convenient. To make religion, that's what the Pharisees and scribes had done. They made religion in their own image and likeness, and they were comfortable with it. And when Jesus came, they did not want their comfort disturbed. So, I'm still struggling with it. But I think that that's what you're supposed to do as a Christian. You're supposed to struggle. I had a professor one time, and I'll close with this. I had a professor in graduate school tell me that preaching, he was talking about preaching, but this is about any, just being a Christian. He said, the gospel, the message of Jesus, should never rest comfortably in your hands. It should always be, have you ever tried to change a light bulb that has recently gone out and the light bulb is hot and you're going like this? Make sure it doesn't. He said, that's the way the gospel should be in your hands. It should never rest comfortably. Because if you're too comfortable, you're probably following some fake good news. Or at least incomplete. I know I was. So think about it.